Call the meeting to order, call the roll.
Trustee Fenton?
Here.
Trustee Dodge?
Here.
Trustee Calandrello?
Here.
Trustee Healy?
Here.
Trustee Katsinas?
Here.
Trustee Malani?
Here.
Mayor Pico?
Here.
Please rise for pledge.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Approval of the September 8th, 2020 committee of the whole minutes.
Mr. Chairman?
Trustee Fenton?
Move to approve the minutes of the regular meeting of the committee of the whole of September 8th, 2020.
Second.
Any questions or comments? Call the roll.
Trustee Fenton?
Aye.
Trustee Calandrello?
Aye.
Trustee Dodge?
Aye.
Trustee Healy?
Aye.
Trustee Katsinas?
Aye.
Trustee Malani?
Aye.
Mayor Pico?
Aye.
Pocketed annexation, review of unincorporated property.
Mayor Pico?
Trustee Dodge?
When we first put this on, and staff has done some work, so I appreciate that.
Can we make the motion first, and then we can talk?
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah.
I'll entertain a motion to direct the staff to analyze and update the 2007 annexation plan and present the findings to the Village of Orland Park Plan Commission for formal presentation and recommendation to the Village Board of Trustees.
So moved.
Second.
Okay, can staff start with their presentation?
Sure. So, thank you, Mr. Chairman, other members of the Village Board. This item before the committee tonight is just to have a general discussion of what's taken place. In 2007, the Development Services Department put together an annexation study that encompassed other village departments and analyzed available unincorporated land within the planning boundaries of the Village of Orland Park. So for clarification, the planning boundaries are 1.5 miles outside of your actual village boundaries. So we would analyze any unincorporated parcel that would be subject to voluntary or involuntary annexation. The terms of an involuntary, sometimes referred to as forced annexation, would be that the village, there's many stipulations, but basically the village wholly surrounds it. The boundary surrounds the entire parcel, and in which case the village would have the opportunity to annex a parcel without the consent of the owner, but we wouldn't be able to add any conditions to it. For example, must provide screening, things like that. That could only happen if the property later developed, right? So it would come into the village for the purposes of being included in the boundary, and it would be held in the most restrictive zoning district. However, there would be no changes to that property allowed until such time that it's redeveloped. In a more formal annexation process, the village is typically approached. This would be a voluntary annexation by the property owner or a developer interested in developing it, where they present a plan. And then as it walks its way through, we have some on the agenda for the Village Board tonight, they would go through the steps necessary to annex. In that case, the village has the opportunity to put conditions on a piece of property, various other things. So that's where we were in 2007. What we've looked at recently, or what staff has looked at recently, is how they did that study. We've excluded properties that were already annexed. We've excluded properties. And then what we have now is basically they had a different set of evaluation criteria that they applied to all of the properties. Is there a tax benefit? Can utilities be extended? Are there any known property maintenance or drainage issues that the village would have to assume responsibility for? Those types of things. In which case, then they assigned a ranking. Do not pursue would be those that would be too costly to take on, or at this point, based on the direction, were too costly. The others would be high priority annexations. So this could be something that if we move forward, or the village move forward with an involuntary annexation, then it would position them better for a future development, or potentially have control over the future of the property that would be beneficial to the residents, something along those lines. So that's essentially where we've been. Through this analysis, where we've gotten to, we've basically, at this point, just very preliminary. What I would like to do is propose, I can show, this is from the previous study, we would update these documents similarly, and then we'd take the recommendations, probably in a series. I think there's upwards of 50-some properties. So we would take a series of these to the Plan Commission with a staff recommendation, get a recommendation from a Plan Commission on how to pursue and update this study, and ultimately we'd have discussions at the Committee of the Whole and the Village Board to provide that direction. But before we get that ball rolling, because this will include staff time, not only from Development Services, but from potentially Finance, Public Works, some legal advice we may need to determine if the properties were appropriately annexed in the past, all those types of things. So before we make that leap in expense, that's why I'm bringing it to the committee.
Okay. Comments, Trustee Dodge?
When we started this conversation, there was the broader topic as well of, if we look up and down Wolf Road,
sure,
for example, south of 167th, and the previous conversations broadly summarized were, if we weren't contiguous, if you didn't surround them, if they were more than 60 acres, all the appropriate caveats per the law. But it's always been an objective to get some of those properties in Orland Park,
sure,
because right now I don't think there's much going on down there that when you come into the southern entrance of the village in terms of the look and feel. So that was one of the ideas. So I just want to make sure that this is the broader, longer, I'll use the word strategic, conversations about how do we round out our boundaries, our borders, especially on Wolf Road. That's the one that comes top of,
sure,
mind for me. That's point number one. And point number two is these will be somewhat challenging in a number of places because of the infrastructure costs that might be implied. And I think we need to think about it. I think we need to look at it. It'd be great if we could get these landowners to voluntarily come in. Right? I'm not sure that's going to happen, right? But it'd be great if we could get them to come in, even if there's potentially some incentives, to, again, to square up the boundaries, to go towards that broader, longer plan of, let's say, like on, we all have seen South Wolf Road, we know what it looks like. Okay, that's county zoning. How do we improve that? So that was part of the objective.
Yeah, and in regards to, if I can respond, but thanks. I appreciate that direction too. And a lot of those properties, just piece by, I don't want to speak for an entire area, but for the individual properties that have come in that specific area, there's issues with floodplain, with floodway, which makes development challenging. But that's exactly what we're doing with this analysis. What's the cost benefit of bringing it in and having the board provide the further direction? So,
yeah. Any other comments?
Yeah, Mr. Chairman.
Trustee Malani.
Just because I really didn't get a good clarification there after that discussion, but we will be including areas like that off of 167th Southwest Highway.
Sorry for that. The intent is to go through what was studied before, which we already started.
Okay.
We've eliminated everything that's been annexed, and then we're going to reevaluate it, the remaining unincorporated parcels. We may come to similar conclusions that we shouldn't pursue, or it's too costly and we have to wait for development, but now we'll at least have an updated document.
Right.
So yes, it will include all of those.
Yeah, I just feel, you know, for those residents that live in Brook Hills and the new subdivision there,
sure,
to have to deal with those properties that have kind of been, we'll call it, decaying over time, that to be able to bring those in and do something with them would be great. So.
Any other comments?
Fair Pico, like, so,
yeah, Ed, if
I'm, not, I'm sorry, that there was a bus company that was operating down near the where the fence company is, right, in the old, I'm not quite sure, the El Cortez, was that the name of that restaurant a long time ago?
Just to the north of that, yeah.
Yeah.
So there, I wouldn't be surprised if we do bump into some potential environmental issues, right? And so again, the broader plan, don't know when we're going to get this all done, don't know exactly how it all comes in, but it's like, it would just be great to clean up and square off our boundaries, comma, it's got to make some sense for the village. So appreciate that.
Okay, thank you.
Any other comments?
Ms. Mayor?
Trustee Calandrello.
I think support the idea of looking at different areas. Just for me, it'd be more, it seems like we have more control if we allow develop to come to us first, but maybe just filling in some pockets. I'm not big into expanding, say, in the like our boundaries of nothing surrounding it and giving growth, but more of just when there's pockets where there's going to be a couple houses that are randomly or not incorporated. I think at least that would be my direction. Because as I'm looking through the map right now, there's a lot of small 4 or 5 houses all over the place that it would be good just to have in the village. So.
Every property has a story.
Well, I'm sure we'll learn them too. Oh, yeah. So, thank you.
Any other comments? So, my comments before we vote on this. There's a number of unincorporated areas that are supposedly serviced by Cook County and Orland Township. Clearly, there are several properties, I think they've been mentioned here, that are eyesores and do not receive the attention that is needed to keep them to Orland Park standards. And people view them as Orland Park, and they're right in the middle of our town. The township itself has a $3.7 million budget, the overwhelming majority of which comes from the incorporated areas. The money comes from the incorporated areas of Orland Park, Orland Hills, and Tinley Park residents. And all of these incorporated areas receive very, very little in return for those dollars. Similarly, unincorporated residents and businesses use our roads. They use our parks. They use Tinley Parks and Orland Hills as well, with no contributions to the village. So that's important for our residents as well. Basically, the township is a duplicative form of government in many ways. Some of the stuff they're supposed to provide includes health services for the township. This includes the majority of Orland Park. Unfortunately, the township closed for a long period of time during COVID. It did not provide any health services during the biggest health crisis of our lifetime. So what are they here for? Combine that with the fact that the Cook County Department of Public Health did nothing for the first several months of COVID either to help us. And I have to ask why it's here. So we aren't supposed to be responsible for that stuff, yet Orland Park on its own had to source the PPE and had to source PPE for the medical businesses. So those people, if you think we were out in the cold, the unincorporated residents were really out in the cold. Senior services for the township, including the majority of Orland Park, according to the recent Orland Township Focus, are closed until 2022. They've been suspended due to COVID. COVID's hit the senior communities the hardest and the worst, where these programs are most needed. And when they're most needed, the township is closed. So again, supposed to be providing service not only to the unincorporated areas, but to us. But why do we think that the unincorporated areas are getting any better service than we are? Because we're not getting it. All the other programs and services in the township have also been canceled due to COVID until some undetermined date in 2021. A lot of these are family health services and medical services. Again, these are needed most at this time, and they're not getting any support. So this is, this is important for the village, it's also important for residents that really sit inside of Orland Park, but they aren't in Orland Park because they don't pay taxes to Orland Park. So they're underserved by the township, they're underserved by the county, and the money that we're putting in go to all these other communities that the leadership of Cook County feels are more deserving. That's what happens. So we don't get that support. So here's where I think that annexing properties can be a win-win. The unincorporated residents will get much better service. We'll have a lot more control over areas that are surrounded by Orland Park currently. We will have more input and control of public safety. Think of Joey's Red Hots, how we heard about how we drop the ball when it's actually not us, it's actually the county sheriff that's responsible for that because it's unincorporated. So we'd be able to provide better services in those areas than what we get from the county currently. Areas that we've talked about on Wolf Road in particular came up that have been long-term eyesores or infrastructure problems can get the attention they deserve, so they no longer detract from Orland Park. Obviously, they have to be, it has to be cost-effective, and we have to see what the cost-benefit is. Clearly, we've seen a national crisis that's also statewide, it's also regional with COVID, and these unincorporated areas are going to get better service by being in the village, where during COVID, Orland Park stayed open, we provided services, we provided help to our businesses, and the township in Cook County closed their doors, closed their eyes, and did nothing. So I think it's a win-win wherever we can find a way to do this. So with that, call the roll.
Trustee Dodge.
Aye.
Trustee Healy.
Aye.
Trustee Fenton.
Aye.
Trustee Calandrello.
Aye.
Trustee Katsinas.
Aye.
Trustee Milani.
Aye.
Mayor Pico.
Aye. Motion carries 7-0. Come back with good news.
Always.
Thank you.
I know better.
First Amendment to the Oaklawn Regional Water System.
Mr. Mayor.
Trustee Healy.
I move to recommend to the Village Board approval of the First Amendment to the Oaklawn Regional Water System.
Second.
George, you want to give a brief update?
Yep. So as the board is aware, the Village Orland Park and a number of other municipalities are part of the regional water system. It's actually called the Oaklawn Regional Water System. So City of Chicago transports water to Oaklawn, and then from there, we're part of a larger system. So we get Lake Michigan water from through this regional system. So back in 2013, all of the member agencies approved a new agreement that provided for a redundant water source. So we'll have water coming in from two ways. So the 2013 agreement had a lot of, it was all conceptual. There was a lot of ideas, but not a lot of engineering to it. So now we're at the point where we're far enough into this process that we have a very solid idea for what the costs are going to be. So for the past year, the regional water system has been working on an amendment to the agreement, and Khursheed has a brief PowerPoint, but also we have some of the representatives on the line. We have Chapman and Cutler, a representative from Chapman and Cutler, who is the legal for regional water system. We have a representative from CDN Smith, who is the engineer for this, and we also have financial representation. So, Khursheed, if you could just run us through these slides.
Good evening. So the project in 2017, we approved an increase of a $45 million project from $171 million to $216 million project. And those are the two categories where the costs were increased. And then, as George was mentioning, the group has several ideas. These are the brief highlights of those ideas about how to manage this regional water system, where we have three different groups: managers group, village managers group, and then we have water operators group, as well as a finance/administration working group. These three groups have their own separate roles. And a couple things that this group has agreed to is that all construction change orders over $20,000 would be reviewed and approved by the management group. And any increase of $5,000 or more on the engineering side would be reviewed and approved by the management group. The operators group will provide input in terms of operation, and finance group will look into bonds and the financial costs. So, this is the current status of the project. Everything that you see in green is either under construction or it has been completed. So this is, for our purposes, this is the line that is coming into from Oaklawn into our village. This is where our spur 2, that you have heard probably before, is going to be connected. This is a 60-inch line, and then we'll be connecting a 36-inch line that will come into Orland Park. And then the rest of the projects are either under construction, completed, or the contract has been awarded. This is the part of the project that has not been awarded or not under construction. Again, this is the piece that relates to us as what we call spur 2. That is that 36-inch line that will come into our village and connect to our reservoir. Just one thing that I didn't mention, as of now, $143 million worth of project is either executed or under construction. So from the 2017, the project is requesting for another $22 million increase to $238 million, and these are the highlights of those various costs that are requested. And I'm just quickly highlighting the larger dollar amounts that is impacting this request for additional funds. So the biggest cost increase is in the tunnel that is part of this project. It's most complicated project, element of the project, adding another cost of $10.6 million. We have some ComEd requirements that is costing the project about $7.2 million, and then the other items are relatively smaller numbers. Again, this is related to our project where we changed the size of the pipelines as well as the realignment. As part of this change or the amendment in the project, the Village of Orland Park is responsible for $812,800 for the spur 2 that connects to us. Anything above that number will be paid by the regional water system. Just the realignment part that is being shown, after realignment, you can see that the lines are completely separate in terms of redundancy, which is the intent of this project, that the existing line, which is what we call spur 1, and the spur 2, they do not come close to each other, just as a factor of safety. So based on the current numbers and input provided by the engineer, CDM Smith, and this contingency have been discussed, and now the project is requesting that a contingency be added to the project. And the contingency is being added based on where the project, different bid packages in the project is located. Meaning, if the project is too far along into construction, then we have a very small, maybe 1 or 2% contingency. But if the project is in the planning stage, then we have 10% or so contingency for the project. This is a request for the contingency. So with the amendment or with the extension requested, additional funds, $238 million, $37 million, which is about 15% or so of contingency is being requested, with a total project cost at $275 million. I have a representative from PFM, Scott Carlson. He can speak to that, but based on the $238 million project, the average cost to the customer, to the entire system, will be $1.26 per 1,000 gallon, which is at the previously approved dollar amount at $2.16, it was $1 per 1,000 gallons of water. So that's the increase that you will see. And if you add the contingency to it, that number goes up to $1.48 per 1,000 gallons of water, compared to the 2016 dollar value. If you have more questions, Mr. Carlson will be happy to answer those. These are the main items that is being presented today for changes to the agreement for the communities, custom communities, or the regional water system. So there are requests. We're requesting a $275 million project with a $297 million bond. And all of the requires executive consent to award all remaining bid packages. Previously, Oaklawn and their team was approving these projects. Now moving forward, the executive committee will review and approve the project. Same thing as I mentioned about the change orders, whether it's construction or design and engineering, they will be reviewed by the executive committee.
Absolutely.
The bid packages 7A and 7B will be realigned, and it will require Orland Park to commit to $812,800 as its cap. And same thing with the Palos Hills. They are adding a spur similar to ours and a new pump station. Anything above $2.6 million will be paid by Palos Hills. And the last item is that there is an overall system-wide water leakage, so there will be a recovery cost of 10 cents per 1,000 gallons starting January 1, 2021. This is the current status of the three other municipalities that are not a full member of this regional water supply, and their expiration date for their contract, as well as their participation as a total from the total of the water supply. Like Madison has 8.4%, Club Hills, Country Club Hills has 3.7%, and Olympia Fields has 2.39% as part of the water system. So that summarizes the presentation.
And the reason that was added to the end there is because they are not a full members of the regional water system. They are like customers to the regional water system. It is very likely that they will, once their expirations occur, it is very likely they're going to go to another water source based on newspaper reporting. So that may change since they're 15% of the consumption from the regional water system. That may change the financials there slightly, but that's just an important element here. But overall, I want to thank Khursheed because in the last year, a year ago, we would not have even dreamt of being at this point. Of getting to this point. And now we're at a point where all the regional water system customers there's unanimous consent to move forward. It's a really wonderful product that we can get fresh water from the Great Lakes. If you look at other communities that are having aquifer issues, Joliet is trying to figure out how to get water from the city of Chicago right now, if you can think about that. So we're very fortunate, the residents of Orland Park are very fortunate because we have a solid source and we're gonna have a redundant source for fresh water.
I've been briefed on this, so are there any comments or questions?
Mayor Pico.
Trustee Dodge.
So at a project this big, it's inevitable you have changes, got it. Was there anything in here that was surprising? This question one. And then question two, you had a slide in here, but I don't think you showed it, relative to ComEd. And, you know, if memory serves, the big challenge was always getting the water under the CalSAG, correct? The tunneling? So if you could just touch on those things. It doesn't feel like there's an order of magnitude problem. This kind of feels like normal final engineering on a project this big. Is that correct?
That is correct. So one item that stands out for me is the added cost for the tunneling, the complications that came up on that project, and then the added number for that, which is about 50% of the $22 million that is being requested. So that's one item is there.
And there just to explore that, there are complications related to quality of the dirt, the engineering, all of that stuff, as opposed to any issues with ComEd as an entity. Because from prior personal experience, ComEd feels no compelling need to be the most effective when it comes to burying things like electric wires. And we've seen this before with pipeline companies, where we get stuck with a pretty big bill if we've got to fortify one of their pipelines if we're going over it. So can you give me a perspective on, is it legitimate, so to speak, for ComEd with these kind of overruns?
So Khursheed, the tunneling isn't a ComEd issue, is it? That has nothing to do with ComEd. It has to do with tunneling for this pipe.
Maybe best is, Amaru, you're online. Can you speak to that?
Absolutely. Good evening, everyone, and thank you for giving us the opportunity.
Up.
Yeah, to the council's question, it's an excellent question. Is there anything unique in ComEd? One of the things that we encountered on this project is the parent company of ComEd, Exelon, changed their policy to not accepting any soil that's removed from any of their ComEd areas or areas where they operate. And so everything that is disposed of from ComEd areas had to go to a special waste landfill, which is orders of magnitude more expensive than if you go to a CCDD facility. And to the credit of the customer communities and the managers of the negotiation process with ComEd, we were able to negotiate keeping significant amount of the dirt on site, backfilling that, and minimizing the amount that would have to go. That was a surprise. CDM Smith has worked with other entities where we have pipeline projects in ComEd right-of-ways, and prior to that point, we were able to go, if it tested clean, it can go to CCDD. In their case, they said, no, it doesn't matter what it tests. We don't want the liability. If you take anything out of our site, it needs to go to a specialist landfill. So we were able to minimize that, but that was a surprise piece.
In Trustee Dodd, you asked another thing about going below the wetland. So as part of the rerouting of this project, we were able to eliminate going below the wetland, which was in comments right away. But we had like 40 feet below the wetland. We eliminated that and rerouted the project.
Got it. No, just the combination here has answered my question, which is it's a head scratcher. If we take dirt off of a ComEd property, they don't want it. We've got to go through double super secret treatment of their dirt. I just want to put that out there for the public record.
Any other comments? So this is a good thing. I'd like to thank Rashid for catching the fact that this was, you know, and when he showed me the drawing, because I'd never even seen it before, it was pretty obvious that we didn't have redundancy, and pushing on that issue hard, because not only did he catch it, but he pushed on it. I also want to thank George. I jumped in right after the election on this. It was the one meeting we had with the mayors. This whole project had come to a screeching halt. No one was getting along, et cetera. Resolved some issues and then moved forward for the next, until roughly the time that George came on board. We received no updates, really. And as it turned out, Orland Park was being put in a box that was not very good. And we pretty much destroyed all the relationships we had there on that within that group, unbeknownst to anyone here on the board floor, including myself. George identified it, asked me to get involved, and I met with, seven mayors or eight mayors over the course of a week, and managed to get, and they were unaware of it as well. And we were able to get that back on board, and then since that time, it's been pretty smooth sailing. Am I correct?
Yep.
And we were able to get the redundancy we needed at a reasonable solution. And so I want to thank you guys for your efforts on that, because that was pretty important, because at that point when you walked in here, the relationship had pretty much been destroyed, which is pretty critical for an organization like this to make sure it continues to move forward. So thanks for bringing that to my attention. With that, let's move for a vote or call the roll.
Trustee Healy?
Aye.
Trustee Katsinas?
Aye.
Trustee Fenton?
Aye.
Trustee Dodge?
Aye.
Trustee Calandrillo?
Aye.
Trustee Milani?
Aye.
Mayor Pico?
Aye. Do you have any? No? Okay. I'll entertain a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Second.
Second.
Call the roll.
Trustee Fenton?
Aye.
Trustee Healy?
Aye.
Trustee Dodge?
Aye.
Trustee Calandrillo?
Aye.
Trustee Katsinas?
Aye.
Trustee Milani?
Aye.
Mayor Pico?
Aye. See you all at 7:00.